Sophia Melitello, Conscious Consumerism. This is episode 25 on Maella Manassian's Tiny Climate Challenge podcast.
I'm Maella Manassian, your host on the Tiny Climate Challenge podcast. This is a podcast for busy people who want to save the planet by completing one simple eco challenge at a time. Let's do this. Please visit tinyclimate.com to access all episodes, show notes, freely subscribe, and contact us. Now, for the first time in my life, I truly believe my dreams are possible, Hi, everyone. My name is Maella Manassian. I'm your host of Tiny Climate Challenge. Today, I've invited Sophia Melitello as my guest challenger to talk all about corporate social responsibility and some of our favorite products. Welcome, Sophia. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell us what your challenge was all about?
Thank you, Maella. My name is Sophia, and I was an intern with Maella for the city of Encinitas 2 summers ago. And I recently graduated from the University of Washington with a chemistry major and a very specific major called community environment and planning. I consider myself an environmentalist, and I'm working my way into the working world as we speak. My challenge today was to look at a clothing brand that I use a lot and see how sustainable they are. And with that, I explored options beyond the clothing brands that I already use.
So fun. Did you have a fun time doing this?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I talked to a lot of my friends about it and got them exploring as well. Yeah, exactly. One of my good friends actually did a whole research project on sustainable clothing. So I have to give her a shout out for helping me find a lot of these.
That's awesome. Do you want to mention her name?
Yeah, Abby Tisch. Yeah, she helped me out with this.
It shows how we can each do these challenges, but we can also inspire our friends to do them as well.
Yeah, it's a fun topic of conversation, especially during quarantine. You look beyond it.
I'm looking forward to the podcast interview with you, actually, because who doesn't like to shop?
Yeah, exactly.
There's things that we all buy. And, you know, I shop a lot less now than I used to, but I have found since I've become interested in this topic that I've become a lot more interested in the products that I'm shopping for.
Definitely.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but before I used to just go like, oh, I need a hand. And then when I was younger, maybe more on a budget, this is probably the reason why, but I would just pick up whatever was the cheapest.
Yeah.
Or if it had a scent that I knew I liked, but I never really bothered to check who is the company that's selling it and whether or not they had any sustainability certifications or sustainability values.
Yeah, I think it's very distant, especially looking at all the soaps on the shelves. You're like, one of these has to work, right?
Yeah, I bring hand soap up specifically because we are in a worldwide pandemic right now. And washing our hands is very important. I encouraged Sophia for this podcast to not only to do some research on some of your favorite products, but also I thought it would be fun if we could just talk a little bit about products that we use every day and to bring those with you so that we could look into them on the spot. So I'm going to be holding one of my current favorite hand soaps right now. It's called Everyone EO Products. I didn't even know the name of the company. I had to look at the label here. But it's Everyone for Everybody Hands, and it's lavender and coconut. Oh my gosh, it smells so good. So it makes hand washing so much more enjoyable because I've always washed my hands, but not as much as I have been lately.
Thank goodness.
And it, like your hands get all dry now because we wash them so often. But this actually, it's made with plant extracts and pure essential oils. And so I love how it makes my hands feel. So anyway, we'll get more into our products. But speaking of your products and where you shop, do you want to tell us about what products you looked into?
Yeah, so I started with a clothing company that I've been shopping at for probably 15 years. I'm not that old, so it's a long time. And I couldn't find anything on their website. So the company's name is Lulu's, not to be confused with Lululemon. but it's all female kind of dress, shirts, pants, all the clothing. And it's young, kind of equivalent, I guess, a little more high end of a Forever 21, I would compare it to. And basically, I went onto their website and tried to find if they were sustainable, and they had nothing listed whatsoever. Nothing at all.
Did that surprise you?
Yeah, I feel like there's usually like taglines or something about sustainability. But I think the big buzzword as of right now, rightfully so, are about equality and equality for everyone and less about environmentalism now. So I think that's an interesting transition. I feel like it doesn't necessarily have to be a transition. Why not both? But there was stuff about higher education and empowering women, but nothing about the environment. So I emailed them. And they responded pretty quickly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but they just said kind of a general statement of, we comply with all environmental and hazardous substance laws and regulations. And if our products are damaged, we donate them to avoid landfills. So I guess they're doing something. But then I asked them if they had it in writing or any report I could look at, because I assumed companies have. And they responded, we'll let you know. And then they never got back to me. So that was about, I think, 3 weeks ago. So.
Oh, no. And was it a sustainability person or was it just a generic email?
It was just the general email. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because it's a very like frilly company and they have to sign all of their emails XOXO. But they didn't have the job title, I don't think.
Okay.
In the description. And when I emailed the second time asking for more information, someone else answered that email. So I think it kind of goes through a cycle.
So maybe they just have a general customer service that responds to these.
Yeah, things. I think so. Because there was only one email on the site.
So how did you find out about this company?
When I was in eighth grade, actually, I was looking to buy a dress for my, I think, like moving up day, you call it. And I think I just found them online and I've been shopping with them ever since. It's a completely online company, which is unique. I think there's no stores except for their outlet store, which I think is in Chico, California. And I've been going back and forth with them since, like with all my college formals and stuff like that. So, and even just day-to-day shirts, which I enjoy.
So it sounds like they sell like everything from your daily wear to more formal.
Exactly. Yeah. And even nicer, like business casual type things, type shirts and pants.
Well, I never heard of them. And I'm really amazed that you were just so diligent in reaching out to them and wanting to find more information. I feel like you've taken the step that most people, you know, I think a lot of people would be willing to go online and see what they find, but if they don't, then they just stop there.
Yeah.
So I think that's great that you actually went a step further and you reached out to them. And it's too bad that they didn't get back to you with a real answer. Maybe they will after this podcast comes.
I'll send them the link.
So I'm just curious, like now that you know what you know about them, do you still feel compelled or excited about shopping them?
I would definitely say less so. And researching these other companies that my friend had given to me and finding a lot online, I find there's other opportunities. And I think moving forward, I'll look at these other stores prior to looking at Lulu's, knowing how sustainable they are in the first place. The only bummer, I guess I would say, is the sustainable stores seem to have fewer sales. So that's a big appeal for Lulu's all the time. But I guess then in turn, I'll probably buy less and take better care of what I have than if I maybe bought a little bit more. But I'm a very picky shopper, so I'm not very good at, I say I'm not very good at shopping, but it's probably better than
so that way. What are you picky about?
Like, I'll go shopping with my friends at the mall and they'll leave with probably 3 to 5 items and I'll leave with nothing or one shirt. So I wish I was a better shopper, but it's probably better for the environment and for my bank account than I'm not.
And I'm not sure if you had a chance. I did another podcast episode too, actually, with a guest expert.
And I did listen to that one.
Okay. And I'm actually going to say her name again because I always get her last name interchanged. So it could be Erica Lopez Lada. And then the guest challenger was Pia Piscatelli, who didn't buy anything new for a whole year, which I just find incredibly inspiring because while I would like to follow in her footsteps, I can't say that I've achieved that just yet.
Yeah. I don't know if I could do that either. That's really incredible. I was listening to that as well. And I was like, thank goodness there's sustainable stores out there because I'm not a good thrifter either. I would love to be a good thrifter, but
well, right now during COVID, you know, it's like, yeah, we're not going out as much into the stores. And so I could see the appeal of Lulu's because you shop online and so you don't have to expose yourself, possibly getting sick. I would like to circle back around with Pia actually, because, you know, one of the other things that she recommended, which is a lot of fun, I will admit, is doing clothing swaps. But if we're all staying in our homes, then kind of makes it hard to do that too.
Yeah, I was in a sorority in college for 3 years, and that was the most beneficial part, I think, with clothing. You could wear anyone's clothes for a night, and then you didn't have to buy anything new for that year.
Yeah, my best friend and I, we don't wear the same size clothing, but we do wear the same size shoe, and she has so many fun shoes. I actually wore a really beautiful pair of shoes. They were multi-tone, like gold and silver and bronze. I wore her shoes when I had my panel presentation with former Vice President Al Gore. So it was really cool because you know how like on your wedding day, you wear something borrowed, something blue, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You're not married yet, are you?
No, but I've heard the tagline.
But in any case, it felt, you know, just really special knowing that I was having this really special moment and I was wearing her shoes.
And she was with you in some way too.
Yeah, exactly. But I just was thinking we could do virtual clothing shops, actually. I could hold up a bunch of my clothes right now and be like, what do you think about this, Sophia? Do you want this?
Yeah.
And then you could come pick it up and it could be a contactless pickup.
Yeah, there's definitely ways around it, especially if you know the person.
Yeah.
It'd be pretty easy. It's just a matter of, do they need any new clothing right now?
I know. I've been wearing a t-shirt right now from Target, which I did talk about with my guest expert. And I was pleasantly surprised at the sustainable things that Target is doing. But they're doing pretty good. So I'm wearing my Love Your Mother t-shirt, two hands holding the earth. But I feel like I've been wearing this t-shirt for the last 3-4 months.
Yeah. I have elephant pants, like these funky elephant pants that I wear every day. And I'm wearing them now. Huh? But they're from $2 in Vietnam. So a little bit different. I don't think they were made sustainably, but sorry.
And you actually bought them there in Vietnam?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. I keep my clothes for a very long time too. So I've had these for 5 years. Which is pretty good for a $2 pants.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that is good. Yes, I love when I travel going and buying things from local artisans, clothing or artwork or crafts, you know.
Yeah.
It's a great way to support the local economy.
Mm-hmm. And bring a little something back too.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So I think that's awesome. I hope I haven't ruined your shopping experience at Lulu's completely.
No, I think I just have to transition away. It's for the better.
I mentioned to Sophia actually before we got started today that this podcast is not about shaming anybody by any means. It's just about becoming more aware of the purchases that we make and, you know, really looking into it and questioning our motives and then deciding for ourselves if this is something that we want to continue to support or not.
Yeah, definitely. I actually rethought other stores I shop at. I recently ripped my favorite pair of jeans from Topshop, which I have known in the back of my mind to be not a very good company. So exploring these companies, I've found several sustainable companies that can give me the same jeans for slightly a little bit more, but I think you wear jeans forever.
Yeah.
They'll last longer as well.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to wear my jeans forever until the stretch or the style changes. And yeah. I'm still in my skinny jeans. I know people are kind of onto, there's like a new mom jean now.
Yeah.
Back around to the 90s. I haven't brought myself quite there yet. I lived that in the 90s. I don't feel like I need to go back there again. But so care to mention any of the other sustainable jean companies that you...
Yeah, the jean company that stood out to me is, I think it's pretty well known. It's called Reformation. And I wrote down a few little facts, but they have a closed loop system. So they prevent like the toxins from wastewater from getting into the environment, which is really cool. And they remanufacture their clothing. So they prevent CO2 emission, which is fascinating as well. And they made the comment because they remanufacture their clothes, 2/3 of environmental impact comes from the raw materials. So not necessarily starting fresh, they still reduce their impact in that way, which is really cool.
Wow. Now, did you ask around and say, I'm looking for a sustainable, like, did you ask your friend network or did you just go online and say, what are some sustainable jean companies? Or how did you come upon Reformation?
I think my friend Abby told me this one as well, but I might've been Instagram ad again. I don't know if we mentioned this. We were talking before and I've been bombarded with sustainable companies via Instagram ads. So it might have been one of those. But I explored all these different ones and that was the best one with jeans. There's another one that was really cool called Cotton, and Cotton with a K without a double T and N. So Cotn. And they actually take pictures of every step of producing their clothes.
Okay.
Yeah, it was really cool. So they have the farmers and how they turn the cotton into thread and who makes the t-shirts. And they actually do it in Egypt, which was fascinating too, and give back to the community there. So that was interesting because you always assume that making the clothes locally in the United States would be better because of regulations.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with this example, they're helping the greater community in Egypt, which proves to be beneficial and supplying jobs.
Yeah.
And doing it sustainably. So I think that's something to be said. I always hesitate when my clothes say made in Turkey or China or any of those places. But I guess if you know the backstory, you don't have to worry about it either.
Yeah, no, that's great. I wish more companies would be transparent about these things. Me, like, and my decision-making a lot easier.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it does too, because I feel like you're confident in buying those clothes then.
Yeah.
But I bet a lot of my clothes right now probably weren't the best produced. But also another one of my favorite companies that I found, I haven't bought anything yet, but I think I will. It's called Girlfriend. And it's just workout clothes, underwear, and socks. Have you ever heard of that one?
No.
Yeah, I took the most notes on this one, so I guess I was the most excited about it. But they have this funny thing where you can post pictures of yourself wearing the clothes and doing environmentally friendly things. Like, they called one of it plogging.
Oh, yeah.
And it's picking up trash while jogging.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so funny. So
it's fun.
Yeah, no, I do that. I run with my mom now that I'm home. Uh-huh. And she doesn't let me pick up trash anymore because of COVID. I've been a little sad running on the beach because you do see a lot of trash.
Yeah.
I have to bring a plastic bag with me.
I got my personal trainer into doing
that. Really?
He does a lot of hikes.
Uh-huh.
And so it's so funny because, and she posts, you know, whenever she's out and doing these hikes, like she does like high peaks. And so she'll post like, I'm here today. And then she'll always say, and I picked up 2 or 3 like water bottle caps, and these are for you, Myella. Like, gives me a shout out.
Good. Yeah, there's always a lot of trash. It's really frustrating.
It is. We should know better by now.
Especially the people hiking. You think that they respect the environment, but.
Yeah, I know. What's that all about?
Disappointing. But, anyways, when you post about plogging, you get a discount on their clothes.
What a smart marketing idea.
Yeah, I agree. So I'm excited to do that. I'll post a picture of me plogging once I get their clothes. But it's cool too, because not only do they support you picking up trash, all their clothes are made from old plastic bottles and fishing nets.
Oh, okay.
So it's all recycled plastic, which is fascinating.
Yeah, that's great. That reminds me of a pair of shoes I recently bought because their ads followed me around on the for, I'm not kidding, like over a year. And it was Rothy's. Have you seen or heard of those?
No, I haven't.
It's a shoe company, and their shoes are made out of plastic water bottles. And they claim to be a sustainable company. Maybe we should look up Rothy's today. Or maybe I should have looked them up a little bit more before I actually made the purchase, because their shoes were not cheap. They're cute. They're so cute. I got a pointed toe, and they're bright red, the ones that I got. And I get tons of compliments on them all the time. And in any case, yeah, I just thought, okay, they're made out of plastic water bottles, and I'm looking them up as we speak right now. And you can wash them. You can throw them in the washer and wash them. So I like
that. The coolest part.
You know, now we're hearing about there's all these materials that we've been washing and that we've really been enjoying in our clothing, like that provide the stretch and all that kind of stuff in our pants or in our activewear. And now polluting our waterways.
Yeah, I've heard about that with swimsuits as well, like in the ocean.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not such a good thing.
Yeah, not at all. Hopefully they prevent that.
Yeah, I have a colleague of mine, Dimitri Dehane, who is a researcher out of Scripps Institute of Oceanography, and he actually published a paper on this. So I would love to have him come on my podcast and talk all about it, because I think it's something that we should definitely explore some more and educate ourselves about.
Yeah, I know. I went to school in Seattle, and I know that rain jackets are actually really bad, because if it's not water-resistant material, but there's a coating on a lot of rain jackets, if that washes away into all the drains, and especially in Seattle when it rains nearly every day in the winter, all of that's gone and into the local wastewater.
Oh, it's tough.
It's brutal. Yeah.
So you can look up Rothy's. Rothy's.com/sustainability. So that's a good sign. They have a page dedicated to sustainability on their website. And it talks about how their signature thread is spun from single-use water bottles, 45 million and counting. So it looks like actually they're up to 62,429,489 as of the recording of this podcast. So that's good. It's all recycled materials, with marine plastic collected within 30 miles of coastlines and marine environments. So that's great. And I believe they are an American company as well. And they offset their carbon emissions when they ship your product to you. So that's good.
That's very good.
Of course, companies kind of always say that they do all these amazing things, but I like to believe them when they say that they are doing these things. And then, as you mentioned earlier, with sustainability, they talk about fostering an inclusive, positive work environment for their team. So their headquarters are in San Francisco, but they do have a workshop in China. Sustainable packaging and shipping, we talked about that. Yeah, so that's pretty much what all they have on their website now.
Yeah, that's a lot of companies should be more developed in that, and in their own website as well. I think they just put the marking and don't really explain it either.
Yeah, I think you're right. It would help me a great deal if companies would be more transparent about their sustainability measures, because I want to be a conscientious consumer, and I want to encourage other people to adopt conscious consumption. But it's kind of hard to do sometimes when companies aren't all that transparent about their products.
Make it hard to find.
Mm-hmm. And I love the companies that you mentioned that are celebrating their commitments to sustainability and are engaging their customers to really help spread the word. So I think that's great. I'd like to encourage more companies, hopefully. For those of them that are listening, we encourage you to keep up the good work, because we all want to get better at this.
Yeah, exactly. And even with looking at clothing, it obviously extended into other products. And luckily for me, I found a very cool product called Bite. And it comes in a glass container. Mm-hmm. And it's just little kind of tablets that look like vitamins, I would describe. And instead of having a plastic tube of toothpaste, you have just this little tablet that you bite and brush your teeth with. There's no plastic involved, which is really cool.
Yeah, I think that's amazing.
Yeah, I really like it already. My mouth felt the same cleanliness, I guess I would say. I think it's honestly even better than I thought. I didn't do the subscription because I was afraid of that.
So I guess let's explain this a little bit more for our listeners. So it's a tablet that you bite down on?
Correct.
Okay.
And you kind of chew, so then it breaks up, and then the water on your toothbrush kind of makes it into a foamy toothpaste.
Okay, so it does foam up.
Yes.
Okay, that's because I feel like that's really important for some people. They just need to feel that it's foaming up in order to be like cleaning.
Yeah.
And then I'm guessing they have different flavors.
Yeah, they have three different flavors. They have like a berry twist, and then they have the mint that I'm trying. I like the mint. I always mint toothpaste. And then they have a mint with charcoal. I have a friend who tried it, and she said it tasted like dirt. So it's up to you if you want the charcoal, but the mint tastes good.
Well, that's cool. I guess that the other thing I was thinking is that there's a lot of products that we can now make ourselves too. And I did have another podcast expert come on the show. I don't know if you had a chance to hear that episode. Her name's Marina Qtob, and she is the eco goddess. And she has a YouTube channel actually where she shares how we can DIY, do it yourself, a lot of these products that we like to use. And not just toothpaste or makeup, but also like cleaning supplies, you know, like almost anything that we might consider buying. Like she just talks about how you can make it yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard about DIY toothpaste. I think that would be interesting to compare to this.
Yeah. Not that Bite isn't a good company. And I love the fact that they're in a glass jar and that they are eliminating plastics, but maybe you can save yourself a little bit of money by making your own toothpaste.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think it's cool that these companies are eliminating the plastic on their own and making it easier for people who are afraid of DIY or are, I guess, don't want to take the time. That's the easy way out. Mm-hmm. But DIY would definitely be more beneficial. I know this company, I think they also offset their carbon footprint, but eliminating that and not having to offset it would be even better.
Yeah. And I get it's about convenience, right? Sometimes we don't have time to DIY.
Yeah.
Sometimes we like what we like and we just can't replicate that at home. And so that's why we choose to buy the products that we buy. So there's many different reasons, but I think it's always good to just examine, why am I buying this product? I could very easily make my own lavender and coconut hand soap.
Yeah.
Maybe after this podcast is over, I might just do that. Could I make my own multivitamin? I'm guessing if I ate all the right foods every day, I could probably get all this vitamin A, C, D3, E, K, all these things are in here. But it's obviously just more convenient to take a tablet. So that's fine. Again, this isn't about shaming anybody or telling folks that you can't continue to invest in the products that you like, but I think it is important to be more mindful of them.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And it's always one step at a time. So if today you're buying the product, tomorrow you could be making it on your own.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's great that we're having this discussion. Are there any other companies that you wanted to bring up or mention?
Yeah. So now I'm on a little kick to explore the sustainable products. And I'm not sure if you've heard of Pella cases.
No, what are they?
They're compostable phone cases.
Oh, okay. No.
They're biodegradable. They're a cool company as well. And I was actually going to buy one for my phone. And my sister reminded me that if you don't need something, there's no point in buying another phone case if your phone case is currently working. So I think it'll be my next phone case, but not for a while. But Pella also has this company called Habitat.
Okay.
And they do bathroom products. So I just ordered a starter kit that's on its way. And basically they're making the transition to shampoo and conditioner bars. Have you heard of those to eliminate plastic?
Yes, I have heard of those actually. I haven't used them, but
yeah.
Yeah. Have you?
No, I haven't. So I'm curious to try it. And so they have those, and then they have dental floss that comes in glass containers instead of plastic. And they also have deodorant that comes in biodegradable packaging. And lip balm. I know you like your Burt's Bees, so lip balm is a cool one too. I'll see how it compares. So I'm interested to see how it works and if it's any different from ones in plastic packaging or whatever.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you mentioned all these products, because while you were talking, I was on the bcorporation.net website.
Okay.
And I looked up Pella. They came up. They're a B Corp.
Very exciting.
So it says they are compostable everyday products, including phone cases and sunglasses.
Yeah, the sunglasses are cool too.
Yeah. And it looks like they said they're on a mission to remove 1 billion pounds of plastic from our oceans. And they are reinventing everyday products without everyday waste. So using their revolutionary technology, they have made a global impact with a customer base that spans all over the world. And just for fun, their overall B impact score is 80.3. So not quite as good as everyday, what was the other company, EO Products, but seems like they're in line. They're in the 80s.
They're making their way up.
Yeah. So that's cool. But yeah, you mentioned my Burt's Bees. You know, it's like we like what we like. I've been using this stuff for years when it was Burt's, still owned by Burt's Bees. It's my understanding that Burt's Bees is now owned by like Clorox or something like that, which is just horrifying. But I just love Burt's Bees so much. But I think I'm going to have to start learning how to make my own lip balm. Because
yeah, I've heard that's fairly easy, right?
Yeah. We've had a riveting conversation about all the different products and places that we like to shop. So I'm just curious, as we wrap up here, what advice do you have for those of us that want to be more conscientious consumers? What tips would you say? I mean, we talked about looking the companies up online. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I think that's a really good step. But when we find out they're not as sustainable as we would like what should we do?
I think it's important to note that there's always an alternative. All of these companies I've been looking up, they've compiled, and there's not just one company that's sustainable. There's a handful, and I'm sure that list will grow as I continue to explore where I can buy my clothes. So don't be afraid to not continue shopping at a store. I think that's the important thing to do, is to look into your favorite stores and ensure that you should be shopping there. I think there's so many great products out there that you can find maybe for a little bit more money, or probably for a little bit more money, but I think it's worth it in the end. Mm-hmm. It not only limits your consumption, but also limits your impact on the natural environment, which is what we all want to do.
Yes, that's great advice. I also love how you reached out to the companies and you sent them an email to ask. I think that's an important step to take as well.
Yeah, you know, the email doesn't have to be anything extravagant. I just asked if they had anything about sustainability written down and what their general response to sustainable impacts were. And I think they want to respond to that, even if it is broad. Mm-hmm. I think they want their consumers to be continually returning.
Yeah, I know. I have tweeted about companies and asked them to kind of step up their sustainability game. And you can do it in a very nice way. Like, mm-hmm. you can say, hey, I love your hand soap. but is it possible for you to create your hand soap in a glass bottle so that I don't have to keep buying plastic? So just make them aware that you're willing to continue to support these companies, but you'd like to see them become a little bit more sustainable in their business practices.
Yeah, I'm hopeful that every company is making that transition, but a little bit of pressure helps.
Yes. I guess the other things we can do is we can stop shopping there. So we can boycott them and tell our friends and family not to shop there. I currently have a boycott against Goya, which I don't know if you've heard about them in the news lately, but it's more of a political thing. So there's Goya Foods that I'm not shopping. Well, I don't think I've ever purchased anything Goya, but I just refuse to now. And Shell, I don't have a car right now because I'm currently kind of sheltering in place with my cars down in Mexico. But when I was living here, I had an electric vehicle. So that's the car I would drive to get around town. And then, but if I had to go further distances, I would drive my gas powered vehicle. And I decided a long time ago because I didn't like Shell's exploitation, yes, but also they were exploring, I want to say, like in the Arctic, they wanted to open up oil exploration in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. So somebody started a social media campaign that I found out about, that I picked up on, and it's Shell No. And this was like 5 years ago. I have never purchased gas at Shell ever, like, since. I don't know how an oil company could become more sustainable in their business practices, although they all claim to be trying to. But in any case, maybe they've gotten better since then. But it just left a really bad impression. And I told all my friends and family, don't shop there. Don't buy your gas from them. Now, whether or not they're stuck to the boycott, I have no idea, but I know I certainly have.
Yeah, and it's nice to make them aware of it. I guess that's something that I'm not as good at, is making others aware. I think I need to work on that. I'm better at talking to like-minded people with the environment and people I know who already agree with me. And I think maybe that's a mini challenge I can take on, is stepping out and talking to someone who doesn't necessarily share my beliefs about the environment.
Yeah, and I think it's important not only to educate our family, friends, you know, as consumers, but it's also important to educate the companies themselves. And so I'm actually involved with Climate Reality Project. They're a nonprofit that was founded by former Vice President Al Gore. And they have a campaign called the Climate Business Working Group. And on the leadership team. And so our whole mission is to educate small to mid-sized businesses in how they can become more sustainable and help to address our climate crisis. And so we always have that option as well, you know, not just to educate folks that are in our immediate circle of influence, but actually educate the companies that we choose to do business with. And so we offer climate presentations to any business that's interested in learning more about how they can personally make changes that will help to stop our climate crisis. Those are always tools, resources that we have at our disposal. And then obviously educating oneself is really key too. So I think I applaud websites like this bcorporation.net that exist to help inform consumers and keep companies accountable. Are there any other tips, suggestions before we head out here?
I think just be more conscious. I think you can be sustainable in every aspect of your purchasing and apply it not only to your clothing, but also to your vitamins and your food and your bathroom products. I think it can go a long way if we all try to change at least one of those.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to look into this some more. I know for me, this has been fascinating.
Yeah, I think I'll just continue looking into companies. Endless cycle.
It's one of those things that, like, once you learn about, you just can't stop anymore. You can't unlearn.
There's no going back.
True. Yeah. And I'm the same way. And so these little labels mean a lot, actually. So that's the first thing I always go for. I pick up the product and I look to see, you know, what little logos they have on there. And So that's a start. But obviously, you know, we always have a choice not to buy things too. And that reminds me of a conversation I had with someone the other day. I wanted these little pearl onions. I was at the market and I wanted them so bad because they're just so delicious and they're great. I like to roast them with the veggies, but they were in a plastic box, and this absolutely drives me crazy. And I know better now. I did a whole zero waste kitchen makeover with the Eco Goddess. We have a YouTube video on this. I just refuse to buy produce that's in plastic anymore. So I left the store without them, and it made me sad. Mm-hmm. I looked for them in bulk, actually, and I didn't find them. And so I left the store without any pearl onions. But, you know, it's not that world.
Yeah. You've lived another day.
Exactly. Yes. So thank you, Sophia.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for all your due diligence here and for just agreeing to be a more conscientious consumer with me and with everyone on the planet. I think this has been a fascinating conversation, and I hope folks will be inspired by what they hear today to go on their own explorative journey and to start shopping with companies that are more sustainable.
I hope so too.
All right. This is what Tiny Climate is all about. Small changes that make a big difference. And we can all do that in our shopping habits. So thank you again. I'm delighted that we could reconnect. And I'm super excited for you and your future. I know we're going to continue to hear some great things about you. So I can't wait to invite you back and continue this conversation and exploration of how we can make our own sustainable products.
I know we need to do that.
Yes. I also want to thank my podcast wizard and producer, John Beethan. He is the reason why we have Tiny Climate as a podcast. And so I just want you all to know that he is an incredible human being, and this would not be possible without him. So with that, I just want to remind everyone, I'm Maiella Manassian, your host of Tiny Climate Challenge podcast. And if you like what you hear, don't forget to subscribe via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts, or you can find me at www.tinyclimate.com.
Now, for the first time in my life, I truly believe my dreams are possible.